of who you are. That's what we've been talking about. And week number one was all about not so incredible me. Some days you might say that, all right? But I loved it. The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans says, you know, I want to do what's right, but some days I just do what's wrong. Okay, anybody have a day like you? I was really working at not being critical. I'm working at that. Because the Lord just said, that's not who you are. So I'm going about my day, and I saw something, like something silly. Like I was looking at somebody's yard. I'm like, why'd they put that dumb thing up? That looks terrible. And I felt like I got a spank in my hind from the Lord, and he says, there you go again. I'm like, I want to do it right, and sometimes I don't do what's right. So I was with the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and he said that, and he understands that, and God understands that. But the thing is, sometimes the enemy will come in and say, man, you're a loser. I'm not even sure you're born again. Look what you said. Look what you did. And the whole thing about not so incredible me is I do make mistakes. Anybody else? Amen. Just me. Yeah. Yeah, I do make mistakes, but it doesn't change my position and who I am in Jesus. And that was just a really good service. Week number two was called our super suit. Our super suit, and the Incredibles movies, just cute, runs in and, you know, where's my super suit? Well, the good thing is when you receive Jesus, super comes on in the inside of you. God always starts on the inside. He puts Jesus inside of you. When you ask him, he'll come inside, and there's a super suit on the inside of you. And we talked about how to get that super suit on the outside of you. Week number three, we talked about your status. Our super status. Some people, no, don't say that, Pastor D. Okay, super status. Super status is I now, because of Jesus, like that prayer, can come boldly into the throne room of God because I have a right standing. I don't have to go, oh, I don't know, you know, I don't know how he feels about me. And listen, God knows me better than I know me. God knows you better than you know you, and he knows that you're going to muff up, and he does, that's okay. I love them. I love you, and you can come boldly into my throne. Now, he does want us to work on our act. Okay, so praise the Lord. All right, last week we talked about we are the redeemed. We are the redeemed. Everybody say, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. And if you were here last week, you know what it's about. But what we said is we are redeemed from some things which are important. But more important is not so much what you redeemed from, but what you've been redeemed to. Amen. Man, so we went over 5 things that you're redeemed from and you're redeemed to. If you were not able to be with us, go online and listen to it. Every week I go, that was just awesome. So now I'm up to 4 awesome things, okay? But that one just really just will open your eyes on who you are. Amen. All right, today. Oh, by the way, you know what we said all the time at the end of every message? We said, it's not so much the incredible me. I can't have the incredible me without the incredible he. It is because of Jesus and what he did on the cross and when he went into hell and he seated at the right hand of the Father God and what he did, I am incredible. So tell somebody again, I am so doggone incredible because of him. Amen, I am. Hallelujah. You know, you are so incredible that he said you can come to heaven because of him. Yeah, you are so incredible because of him that he's just going to dump more blessings on your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. All righty. Open up to Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to start reading this. I'm going to read this. They're going to put it up on the Message translation, but open up your Bibles. Write all over it. What did Pastor Jack used to say? If you can't write in your Bible, throw it out and get one you can. So his Bibles are all written up. Mine are all written up and all over there in colors and stuff like that. But, so open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. All right. Praise God. I am so glad you all are incredible. Jeez. Just love looking at your incredible faces today. Man, just good. All right. Here we go. This is Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28. Phew, I'm doing good. Are you tired? Worn out, burnt out on religion, come to me. Okay. In my Bible, this is the red letters. So what is that? That is Jesus talking. And Jesus is asking you, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out? Come to me. Now, I hate to break it to you, but he's not asking you if you took your supplements and you forgot them, so that's why you're tired. He's not asking that you didn't get enough sleep, and he's saying, are you tired? He says, are you tired, really, burnt out, worn out because of religion? Everybody say, I hate religion. I really do. Because, you know, the thing about religion is it'll wear you out. Because I'm always trying to be gooder and gooder, and I have to meet the standard, and I have to do that, and I have to do this. And you'll never be able to do that. And I came out of a church background. It was just all about trying to do this, do this, do this. And it wears you out. Anybody ever gotten worn out? Worn out. So this is what it's really talking about. And then he says, hey, come to me. You all come to me. You just come to me and you won't have to carry this religion stuff. You won't have to do this religious stuff, oh man, and because you can't. And he says, come to me. Everybody say, come to me. Okay, good. We are on the page. Let's read the rest of that. It's, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Man, that is awesome. That is why he says, come to me, come to me. So, again, you come to him, and he will just clear the junk that you try to carry, all right? Now, when I started thinking, I'm going to read another scripture, but when I started preparing for this message and just thinking about really where I wanted to go, this scripture was so important because I think a lot of times we as Christians can sit in church and in things that we do and just feel worn out, just feel worn out. Now, and I'm not talking so much physically, I'm really talking about spiritually worn out, all right? So, but listen to this. In the book of Acts, it says, Jesus says, I'm going to give you times of refreshing. It's like on that stinking hot day, 101 degrees, you climb up on the diving board, you jump into this water, and you're like, ah. Refreshing. And he says there are times of refreshing that come in his presence. That's why Jesus is saying, come to me, walk with me, work with me. All right. Now, we just finished having just a glorious time just in worshiping the Lord. Okay. Whether you know that or not, what was going on was not a performance. It wasn't a concert. It was all about Jesus, right? We came to worship him. And how many of you could, I know you're not supposed to go with feelings or goosebumps, but how many of you would say, man, I felt strengthened or refreshed in that presence? Man, yeah. So don't skip worship, y'all. I love these people that walk in, not at our church, right? They walk in after worship. Praise the Lord. So in his presence, all righty. So Jesus says, all you have to do is come to me. Everybody say, come to me. Okay. Now, interesting. I'm going, yeah, but I know a lot of Christians that say, I come to him and I look at their lives and they're worn out. So the rest of it is the answer where he goes, get away with me, work with me, watch me. It's just a grace and stuff like that. So that's the answer. So here's a question. How about, remember, it's not me, it's not you, it's somebody else. But how about these people, because you know it's not me, it's not you, it's somebody else. But how about these people that are walking around going, they're in the middle of something, it's such a heavy burden. I've got this thing going on in my life, it's just wearing me out. I just feel just, okay? So, you know, is anybody ever, no, somebody else must feel like that, okay? So probably that person, because it's not us, needs the answer. And the answer is in this message. Okay? So keep your seatbelts on. Here we go. Praise the Lord. Alrighty. Back to our movies. The movies we talked about was The Incredibles. And I know I heard someone say, oh, that is so silly, Pastor D. You're talking about a cartoon. Okay, don't record this part, but I can handle that. I can handle that. And the anonymous letter that I received this week with no signature, you know where that went? Shredder. I can handle that, okay? So, but if that's what you think, I'm laughing. You should all, yeah, yeah. Just be a pastor. It's so fun. In the shredder. Okay, so getting back. So, Pastor D, this is so silly. Superheroes and stuff like that. Yeah, okay, the guy was Bob Parker, and he had super strength. He'd go just like pick up cars, drop them, pick up cars, okay? Superhero Bob Parker. Then there's the, what was the girl's name? Elastic, she could just reach real far. And then there's Dash, she just runs like, and then they got this little baby Jack-Jack, and they're not really sure what his powers are, and he's just totally out of control, and they better figure out what's going on, all right? So this is all about superheroes. It's about superheroes, okay? So here's my thought. What if God has superpowered us? To live more, better, greater in this life, and this is really to help others. Amen. What if superheroes, superpowered, okay? So I entitled the message, Superpowered. All right? You are super powered. If not, stick around. You will be. But you are super powered. So guess what we have to talk about? The Holy Spirit. Yeah, the Holy Spirit. Okay. So I'm just going to give you an overview. If you want to dig deeper, please go into our bookstore. Also, listen, Pastor Sherry, for the last, what's she done, 7 messages? And she's just tackling the Holy Spirit from every angle. But today, you're just getting an overview, okay? So today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to dig in some other scriptures in the Bible on what they said about the Holy Spirit, all right? And then I might put my 2 cents in what I tell you about the Holy Spirit, but really we're going to dig into the Word, all righty? So now, I know some people just want to run out the door every time you say, oh, the Holy Spirit, they want to get out of here. They don't want to hear. So as soon as I see that, nobody ran out, praise the Lord. But as soon as I hear about that, you know what that tells me? They don't understand who the Holy Spirit is. They don't even know what the Holy Spirit will do in your life, let alone through your life. And they have just seen some banana things, okay? So, here's the thing I want to ask you. Where did we ever get to the point in our lives as a believer that we say, I don't need the Holy Spirit? That's sad, all right? That's sad. We shouldn't be like that. Of course, that's not us, right? All right? Now, just Bible trivia. Did you know, Bible trivia here, that Jesus didn't do one miracle as a little boy, as a teenager, through his 20s till he hit 30? How many of you know that? All right? He didn't do any miracles until he hit 30. And yet there's some writings that says, oh, when Jesus was a little boy, he saw the little birdie with a broken wing and he prayed for him and the doggie and stuff like that. There's writings about that. Everybody care of your Bible? It's not in here. And I believe this, right? Okay. All right. So praise God. But he never did any miracles for 30 years. Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus didn't do any miracles. And you want to know why? Sure you do. Okay. Because of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant, the priests were the Levites, the priests. Priests couldn't do or couldn't operate in the priestly ministry until they were 30, right? Until they were 30 years old, those priests, now they grew up in a household, the Levite household, and they were going to be priests, but they couldn't operate in that ministry until they turned 30. Guess what Jesus is called? Ah, thank you. That was a high charades with little kids. The great high priest. Jesus is called our great high priest, and he operated. Now, there were some other reasons, but Think on that one, okay? So just think about this. Jesus finally turns 30, And what happens? He goes to the River Jordan. He's baptized by John the Baptist. He goes down. He comes up. And the Holy Spirit comes upon him. Everybody know that story? Okay. Praise the Lord. If not, go down to Brian's class in children's ministry. We will act it out for you. We do a great job. Ben and Brianna's class too. Okay. So think about this. Now, if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, because after the Holy Spirit came upon him, he was like bananas, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils. Woo! Okay? If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, what about you? Okay? The book of John, last chapter, last verse, can't remember which one it is, but it's the last chapter, last verse in the book of John. It says there were so many miracles that Jesus did that they could not be contained in all the books. So have you ever gone into one of those massive libraries? Not York Library. I've been down to the big library in D.C. And it's just like walls and walls. Jesus did so many miracles they could not contain them in all the books. And yet, Jesus needed the Holy Spirit. Right? Amen. So everybody say, I need the Holy Spirit. Okay, Jesus needs the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. Jesus needs the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. Amen. Open up to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Here we go. Jesus is going to make a statement, and I believe if you would open your ears, this will help you in how you walk your life out on this planet. All right? Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Luke 4, verse 24, verse 49. I do not have dyslexia. Reversing numbers. Jeez. Stay focused, D. Okay, here's Jesus, and he says, listen carefully. Okay. I think he wants you to listen. Can you imagine, start your sentence? Have you done this with your kids? Hey, I usually grab them by the chin. I go, look me in the eye. Anybody ever do that with their little babies? Look me in the eye. This is what he's doing. He goes, listen to me. Okay, everybody sit up straight. Come on, we're going to listen. Listen to me. I'm sending the promise. Everybody say the promise. Say it again. The promise. Gosh, okay. I'm sending the promise. Praise God. Of my Father, the Holy Spirit, upon you, but you are to remain in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed, fully equipped with power from on high. So what he's all said is, hey, you need the Holy Spirit. And then he goes, you need the Holy Spirit because he's going to equip you. He's going to empower you. And he's like, hey, you need the Holy Spirit. All right. Now, I get it. Some people are afraid when we talk about the Holy Spirit. Okay. Okay. Just think you're visiting this church and we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And now y'all read your Bible and you've been in children's ministry on the way up here, some of you. So you know your scriptures, but can you imagine you're a visitor and you're like from the outside and you get thrown on the inside and we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And back in my day, it was the Holy Ghost, like Casper the Ghost. Your brain, that sounds scary, right? Weird, scary. But it's not weird. The Holy Spirit is not weird and it's a promise. It's a promise from God. Hallelujah. Okay. So if you continue reading just this Luke chapter 24 and John chapter 14, Jesus is telling his boys, especially John chapter 14, you know, he's getting ready to die in just hours. He's gotten his last meal with them. And he says, hey, guys, I'm going to leave. I'm actually going to die and I'm going to leave. All righty. And he says, but listen, you will need the Holy Spirit. Yes. Calm them down. You'll need the Holy Spirit. Okay. So how do we, not us, not here, someone else, but how do we get to a place in religion where we say we don't need the Holy Spirit? I'm just like, really? Really? Okay. And then I've had people say, well, listen, Pastor D, they needed it back then. We don't need it now. Did you listen to the news? Do you know what's going down in this nation? Really, in the times and the culture that we live in, I think we need the Holy Spirit. I think we need the Holy Spirit, okay? So, some people say, well, you know, I don't like that Holy Spirit stuff. I think I'm going to find another church. Okay, that's okay. What do they say? Don't let the door hit you when you leave. But I didn't say that, all right? Okay. I don't say that stuff, you know. I am not sarcastic. I don't get it half the time, but a certain daughter of mine, I was like, whoa. Yay. Okay. So I don't want that Holy Spirit stuff. I'm going to leave. Okay. Listen, when someone gets born again, when someone's eyes are open, ears are open, and they ask Jesus to come into their life, guess what that was? A move of the Holy Spirit, y'all. It was the Holy Spirit that moved on their heart, okay? Well, I don't want, okay, how about this? You know, he does more than just move and people get saved. I have heard this numerous times being in a service where someone will tell me later, Pastor D, right through the worship service or after the worship service, somewhere in the worship service, I was healed. Well, I don't like those moves of the Holy Spirit. Who do you think moved? That was the Holy Spirit moving. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. And how about, listen, he doesn't stop with just that. He will come and abide inside of you. He will lead you and guide you. How about, oh, I love this. I remember hearing testimonies of people after 9/11 and the Holy Ghost ones, those that were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they said, I just heard, like on in the inside, don't go to work today. I've heard tons of testimonies like that. Okay, so how about if you have the Holy Spirit and you let him lead you and guide you? He'll guide you shopping. Don't buy that. And your husband's like, I told you, okay? But all serious, he'll guide you in your life. He'll lead you in your life. The Holy Spirit's just incredible. Praise God. All right. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. This is Peter. This is after they were all in the upper room and the Holy Spirit came upon them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. And Peter goes a-preaching. He just goes a-charging. All right. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And Peter said to them, repent. Okay, what's repent? Change your old way of thinking. Turn from your sinful ways, accept and follow Jesus as the Messiah, and be baptized. Just a little commercial break. After you get receive Jesus, what are you supposed to be? In water. Amen. I don't want my hair messed. Hey. Yeah. I'll give you, we still wear, yeah, not shower caps, for swimming. Swim caps, yeah. Just back in the day, those rubber ones, man, they just pull your hair out. Okay, back to Pastor T, stay focused. Okay, and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ because of the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, okay? So if you're taking notes, write this down. The Holy Spirit's a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift. Praise God. Just like righteousness is a gift, the Holy Spirit's a gift. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough, bad enough. It's a gift, okay? And if you mess up, you still get this gift. The Holy Spirit's a gift, all right? So the Holy Spirit, he comes and he lives and then he abides with you. I saw this. Somebody wrote this analogy. The Holy Spirit is not a hitchhiker. He just thumbs in and jumps out. The Holy Spirit will come and live and abide, empower you and equip you. That's the Holy Spirit. He's a gift, okay? Let's go on to verse 39. For the promise of the Holy Spirit is for you and for your children and for all who are far away, including the Gentiles, as many as the Lord our God calls to himself. Okay, hard question. Who is the Holy Spirit for? Everyone. Absolutely. And I love the part that says the Holy Spirit's not, it is for you and your children. Everybody say children. So where do we get that, oh, I don't want you talking about the Holy Spirit downstairs with those little kids. If you're a believer, your kids need the Holy Spirit. Okay. Who's I was talking to Amber. It was like, how many more days she counts till they go back to school? She got it. She was like, Pastor D, you know, my kids go back to school in so many days. But listen, our kids are walking into school in about a month. Right? And I think they need the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right? And if you're a teacher, and you're a teacher, dear Holy Spirit, help. Okay, and you don't pray that prayer because kids can be kids and they're challenging. But listen, we are living in times where kids are going to school with guns. And they're doing crazy things. And they're coming out of just messes of homes and just been diagnosed with blankety blank and icky bicky, okay? It's just terrible, okay? And you want to tell me that you as a teacher doesn't need the Holy Spirit? How about I'm a believer who's filled with the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit can help me with your kids and help them get through this and just help me direct them and guide them and lead them. I think teachers are awesome. I'm telling you, they're awesome and they're awesome, especially those ones that have received Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so he says, the Holy Spirit is for you. Raise your you hand. The Holy Spirit's for your kids and for all who all, what did it say? All who what? They, far away. And then the Amplified says Gentiles. Okay, the Gentiles. All right, now, just think about this. Most likely when Peter got up to preach this, he is preaching to a slew of Jewish people. The majority would be Jews that were there. And he's preaching and he says, the Holy Spirit's for you. The Holy Spirit's for your children. The Holy Spirit's for the Gentiles too. I bet that rocked their wigs. Oh yeah. But that was because the Holy Spirit told him to say that. Okay. And by the way, I'm looking around. You all are not Jews. You're Gentiles. I'm engrafted in. Okay. Get it. Read my second page. Okay. Listen, the Jews were God's chosen people, but praise God, through Jesus, I've been engrafted into this family. But thank God, all right? But I'm not a Jew. Jesus was a Jew, and I believe in, you know, all that. Okay. So I love these people that have these goofy things. And then they come in with their thing. And okay. Pastor D, be nice. Okay. All right, if you're taking notes, write down this second one. The Holy Spirit is for everyone. Look at the person next to you and say, he's for everyone. That's you. Okay. Can you pop that quote up there? Who's back there? That's Adam. Like, who's the head back there? All right. Let me read you this quote. It says, to live like Christ is not natural. It's supernatural. It is, okay? Only as we yield to the Holy Spirit can we ever hope to exhibit the life of Christ. Alrighty? So what he's saying is, hey y'all, you can't live like Jesus until you have the Holy Spirit to help you. Right? You need the Holy Spirit. You need to be clothed and empowered and just changed by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. By the way, most of y'all know this. The Holy Spirit's not an it. It's not a thing. It's a person, right? Right. Okay, next scripture. Here we go. Turn back to Acts chapter. Oh, we're in Acts chapter 2, verse 11. Acts chapter 2, verse 11. From Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 11, they were all, 120 of them, in the upper room the day of Pentecost. And because Jesus says, wait, they obeyed. I love when they obey. I love when my kids obey. Hallelujah. Okay, so they wait, and they're all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other languages, and it was such a noise that people outside were just like hearing them, and they were outside by then probably, and it's just noticeable. And then, verse 11, both Jew and converts to Judaism, the Cretans, my dad would call it Arabs. My dad was from Brooklyn. He had this funny accent. He would call them the Arabs. Anyway, it wasn't bad. It was just the way he was. And we all hear these people speaking in our own language about the wonderful things God has done. Okay, so if you're taking notes, the Holy Spirit, ready? The Holy Spirit makes things clearer. The Holy Spirit does not cause confusion. Clarity. Where's Dolores? That's her word. I learned it from her. Clarity. Okay, the Holy Spirit makes things clear, not confusion. Okay, but, ready? People, churches. I've seen churches over and over throughout the years go into the extreme. They get extreme about the Holy Spirit. Anybody ever seen? Okay, extreme about the Holy Spirit, it just looks confusing the way they're saying about the Holy Spirit. So we've got the extreme on this side, and then we got the bunch over here that says, "I don't believe in the Holy Spirit. I'm ripping this out of my Bible. We're dead as a doornail, and we're happy." That one and that one, and then we have churches that are like the reality lights go off and go. We can't do this. We can't do life. We can't do nothing without the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, for all of you that have been in church for a long time, this particular church, we had some extreme days. Where's Joanne? Remember the whistle? God, those silly things. Okay. All right. We had some extreme, okay? And we probably, okay, but we're not extreme. And this is my prayer. This is my prayer. This is Pastor Sherry's prayer all the time. Father God, we desire a real move from you. We welcome the Holy Spirit to come and to move, to manifest, to demonstrate, to visit people in this congregation. Me too. People, Father, so and move through them. We desire, Father, a move and moves and moves and moves of the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's our prayer. And I'm watching it. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, just think. Today, somebody's sitting here, and maybe they've just been the week from hell. They've been smushed and stamped on, and they're just hurting. How about the Holy Spirit can heal their broken heart? Can give encouragement, right? All right? How about he can do that? All righty? But the problem is sometimes people dig up, we call it traditions of men. You know, a.k.a. religion. And we get goofy. But listen, the Holy Spirit will always line up with the Word of God, okay? And it'll be clear and not confusion, okay? But we got people, right? People sometimes, okay. But the Holy Spirit doesn't do that. Amen? Praise God. Alrighty. So, you ready to talk about the Holy Spirit some more? Turn to Acts chapter 1. Just flip back one. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Verse 8, but you will receive power, and the Amplified says, and ability, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. How many people have read that a couple of times? Okay, now. So question, what are you going to receive? Power. Okay, say it again, what are you going to receive? Power, all right? And for all of you that are kind of new to church, the word power there in the Greek is dunamis. Dunamis means miraculous power. It also has the connotation of ability and power, all right? That's where we get our word dynamite. That's power. Power, all right? So here's the Holy Spirit, and he's like dynamite. The Holy Spirit's like dynamite, and he wants to come and live on the inside of you. He wants to come and live inside you. He doesn't want you to suppress him. He doesn't want to lay dormant inside of you. He doesn't want you not to acknowledge you, him, rather, okay? He wants to come in and power in your life. Praise God. So, but don't do this. Don't walk up to someone and say, well, I have the Holy Spirit and you don't. Oh, I'm not making fun of something I haven't seen or heard. Praise the Lord, all right? And I'm better than you. No, no, especially after that line, you are not better because you have the Holy Spirit, okay? That's not the mentality. The mentality is, I am a believer and I've asked the Holy Spirit to come and fill me, and this filling will be a blessing, and I don't want to not have it, okay? I don't want to not have it. Spank those people. Praise the Lord. All right. Listen to the rest of the verse. I like this part, the last part. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Okay. Now, you read that and you think, and I did too, started to have to dig around here. It's, you can, especially the Amplified, the Holy Spirit will make you a witness to people, okay? The Holy Spirit, and witnessing means I'm going to knock on doors or I'm going to go tell you all about Jesus. But in the original Greek, it says not that, okay? Though those are things we should do. We should tell people the good news, okay? But in the original Greek, it says this, you need the Holy Spirit so you can be a witness. In other words, I can be a witness of Jesus. The Holy Spirit will help me be like Jesus, so my witness says it all. All right? The Holy Spirit will help you be imitators of Jesus. All right? And that's a better witness than, okay, smash, smash, Bible, bang, bang, okay? So, because of the Holy Spirit and Him helping me, I can be a better representative, a better imitator to shine. Okay, amen. All righty. That was pretty easy. All right. So, I just want to talk about two things that the Holy Spirit brings into our life. Just two things and we'll wrap up. Number one, the Holy Spirit brings into our life nine fruits of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings the fruits of the Spirit. Everybody say fruits. Okay. This is what the Holy Spirit brings inside. The Holy Spirit brings fruits of the Spirit. All right. So you can open up to Galatians 5:22. We're going to get there in a minute, but there's nine fruits and the Holy Spirit wants you to develop them. Okay. The Holy Spirit brings them into your life, into your human spirit, not your heart, lub-dub, lub-dub, lub-dub. He brings them into your human spirit, and we are to have them develop so that they'll go on out. All righty? Praise God. So, the first one, and we'll read that, but the first one is, the fruit of the Spirit is? Love. The fruit of the Spirit is? Love. Okay? Now, put your toes in. I'm going to stomp. Social media has ruined some Christians' love walk. Amen. Not here. They're not here. Not here. I'm looking over here. Okay. Because I'm a Christian, and I think I should be able to be nasty about what you just wrote. I didn't like what you said, and I should be able to be nasty and write how I feel. And I don't like how our government's doing this, this, and this, so I should be able to tell you what I think. And I don't like the president, so I should be able to slam, dunk, kick, pinch, bite. Okay? Because I should be able to tell you how I feel. Okay? Now, I will say, we are on Facebook at YCF. Okay? And it is a great tool. Sherry posts scriptures all the time. We also use it for communication. If you want to know about who our guest speakers are, what's going on, or for the month, go to Facebook page. Like YCF, go to our Facebook page. And if you want to know, and please leave Sherry alone, what's going on in youth ministry, just read the Facebook page. she always texts back. These parents, okay, I'm not going to say that. Anyway, she always texts back really nice. Read the Facebook page, okay? So it's a tool, but it is not nasty. We don't do nasty, all right? Okay, the fruit of the Spirit is love, okay? By the way, I must have read this a billion times, and one day I was listening to Bob Yanding. He was a teacher at the Bible school we went to, pastored a church for a long time. He's now traveling the country, and the first time I heard him say that, I'm like, oh, really? And he said, if you look that up in the Greek, it says the fruit of the Spirit, singular, the fruit is one fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Okay, so how's your love doing, everybody? Oh, my love's doing great. As long as I'm not around anybody. I love really great. As long as I'm not hanging out with people. I am a great lover. I love. My fruit's good. Okay, how about those family get-togethers? You know, how's your fruit looking? Aunt Matilda, I just want to smash her face in the wall. Gosh, she's a pain, all right? Oh, how's your fruit doing? Oh, I just walk in love. No, okay, all right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Fruit. Better turn the page. What's my other fruit? Oh, yeah, we're going to read that, okay? Praise the Lord. You can do a checkup on your fruit, on how you act towards people, and you get your answer really quick. All right, so praise the Lord. So when the Holy Spirit comes, he puts fruit, and God wants the fruit to come out, not rotten fruit. Okay, so if you're writing this down, earth shaking, ready? Fruit is not for you. The fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, it's not for you. The fruit is for others. I am to be letting this fruit out in the God love way to be an example of who God is and what he's doing in my life and what he'll do in your life. Fruit is not for you. Fruit is for others. Okay. Yay, read it. Okay, you're all over Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Here we go. But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of his presence within us, ready, is love. Okay, this one's good. Love is unselfish concern towards others. Love, unselfish concern towards others, okay? Next one, joy. By the way, the day you receive Jesus Christ, oh, shoot, I'm going to heaven. You should be full of joy. Just that. Okay? Come on. Christians should be full of joy. Amen. They should say, who is that person? Wow. Okay. Next one. It says inner peace. Do you know the world is bananas? They're losing it. They're going crazy. And we have inner peace. We have it. You need to shine it. Praise God. Okay. This one. I love this one. What's the next one? Patience. Okay. Patience. This is a really good explanation. Not the ability to wait, but how you act while you're waiting. Okay. Pull your toes in. Go stomp. Here we go. I love those Christians. I'm waiting on God. God's going to come through. I'm just waiting. I'm waiting on God. Praise the Lord, Pastor G. I'm just waiting. God's going to come through. Hallelujah. But they are the nastiest people while they're waiting. They're barking, you know. Not here, but somewhere else, right? Okay. Why? Because they haven't gotten what they're waiting for. And they're just nasty and mean and not full of joy, peace, or love, or any of that stuff. Okay. So, how's your fruit doing while you're patiently waiting? It's a good checkup, all right? You're going to act nice. How about while you're waiting for your runaway, for your teenager? How about you act nice, patiently? Yeah. That was a lot of prayer. How about while you're patiently waiting for your marriage to be turned around? How about like for anything, okay? So patience is how you act nice, love, while you're waiting, okay? That was easy. All right, next one, kindness. How about if Christians were all kind to one another, let alone the world, all right? Let's just be kind, okay? Then I hear this. I used to do this, okay? So this is me. Well, I'm Irish. You know, I'm Italian. You know, so, you know, kind. We're Italian. We are not a race. You get to heaven, it's not a race. It's the redeemed. And while you're on this earth, you have fruits. And you are to have kindness. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, the rest of them, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Love that one. And such there is no law. Okay, in the Old Testament, they had a zillion billion laws, really over 600 of them. They had these laws that told you everything you could not do, couldn't say, couldn't wear, and those you could do, and yet you better do. They had laws, laws, laws. So what he's saying is the fruit of the Spirit, there is no law to act in them, to live like that. There's no law. Just do it. And besides, we have Jesus. We've been redeemed from the law. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. So he lives inside of you. He's deposited these fruits. You have to let them out. He wants them to be developed and let out, okay, so that others can experience the fruit that's going out of you, the nice fruit, right? Okay. All righty. Just because of time's sake, I'm just going to wrap that one up. Basically, what we're saying is love, all right? Love. Okay, so the first one is we have the fruit of the gift of the Spirit. Oh, Jesus, help me back. We have the fruit of the Spirit. The other one that the Holy Spirit can bring inside of us, he brings inside of us, are the gifts of the Spirit. There's 9 gifts of the Spirit. I'm not going to read them, but just write down 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, okay? Goes over the 9 gifts, okay? There's a problem, though. Christians want to operate in the gifts, but they don't want to operate in the fruits. I have asked people to sit down because their fruit stunk. And you wanted to get up, thus saith the Lord, okay? God wants you to first have these fruits flowing before you get up and start. And he's got gifts, the 9 gifts of the Spirit, okay? But that's the way it's supposed to go. Everybody say fruit first, gifts next. Praise God. By the way, the gifts are free. You don't have to pay for them. All righty. There's 9 gifts of the Spirit. Now, let me just tell you this. And if you, it's happened to all of you. I've seen it happen. But there'll be times whether I'm in a meeting or it's just a worship service here. And I know that God is speaking to me. All right. And I'll say something. Now, I could walk up. This is gift number blank, number blank, blank. No, nobody wants to hear that. Come on. But you can move. You don't have to announce this is the gift that I'm moving in, all right? Just move. Move and groove with the Lord, the Holy Spirit, okay? Real simple, real simple, okay? One more scripture, John chapter 14, and then we'll wrap up here, okay? John chapter 14. So the Holy Spirit brings into our lives 9 fruits and 9 gifts. Praise the Lord. John chapter 14, verse 16. John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will ask the Father, this is Jesus, I will ask the Father that he will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, and standby to be with you forever. Okay? To be with you forever. Okay? Now, the Greek word for comforter is parakletos, and it means another alongside to help you. Another alongside to help you. Another alongside to help you, okay? So Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you another comforter. I'm going to give you another comforter, okay? Another one just like him. Okay, Jesus walked the earth. There was one Jesus walking the earth. You had to go to him to get healed. Okay, he could be at one place at one time. The Holy Spirit comes. He's going to come in you and me, and he's moving across the world. It's a better deal. Amen. But here's the scene. This is John chapter 14. It's the disciples. It's the Last Supper. And he goes, I'm going to leave. And I'm going to die. And I'm going to be, wah, wah. They're just having a really just meltdown. Because Jesus said he was going to leave. But he's going, no, wait, guys. I'm going to give you another that will abide in you forever. Okay. And I had to picture how Jesus was seeing it. I'm going to leave them in charge. Come on, you knew about Peter and just crazy things, and they'd be fighting and blah, 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 blah. Okay. But he says, no, hey guys, I am going to leave and I'm going to give you another of the same kind that will abide with you forever. Woo! Okay. So today in this place, the Holy Spirit can be your comforter. Today in this place, the Holy Spirit can be your counselor. Today in this place, the Holy Spirit can be all of that. Advocate, standby, helper, okay? Right? Right. He can be that, all righty? And you don't even have to have me come over and pray, all righty? Okay. The Holy Spirit can do all of that. But, love this. This is the kick. Ready? Seatbelts on. The Holy Spirit really wants to move through you, to move through people, to people, okay? So just suppose somebody walks in here and they've had the week from hell. So-and-so left, the bank blew up, the refrigerator died, blah, 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 okay? And they walk in, and how about you, Holy Spirit's look just on the inside of you, and sometimes you just have to look at someone's body language, let alone hear from the Holy Spirit, and you walk up to that person who's just hurting and say, hey, how you doing? Okay. Can I pray for you? God loves you. God's going to move on your life. And you pray for that person. Okay. That is the Holy Spirit moving through you to people. And that is the purpose of the Holy Spirit, so that you can share who he is and all that he does and all he's done in your life to help people. Okay, warning. People are messy. Who was I talking to this morning? Oh, yeah, messy. One time I got effed out before church in that hallway. Oh, yeah. Let's all be pastors, okay? And I went to the bathroom and cried, and I pulled my snot together, and the Lord said, well, you should have seen what they said about me. I said, all right. Okay, people are messy. Right? People are messy. Anybody ever been messy in your life? You went through something that is just messy? You were messy. Your wife will tell you, you were messy. Okay? All right? But you know what I need when I'm messy and going through something? I need a Holy Ghost person to come up, put their hand on me and say, Dee, it's going to be okay. You're going to get through this. We're going to pray. You watch what God does. And I, okay, I need a touch from a person. And that is why you need the Holy Ghost, so you can be a minister, to have him move through you to help people, because we are living with just mess. It's bad out there, okay? But we've got it. We've got the Holy Spirit. So how about I pray for you? Praise the Lord. I think that was my last scripture. Didn't I tell you that was my last scripture? Yep. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I could say a whole lot more about the Holy Spirit, but I believe that right now there's just a stirring in your hearts where you'd say, Holy Spirit, I want more of you. I need, number one, more of you. I want more of you. Now, you could say, well, I've got all the Holy Spirit I need. Yeah, well, you're the person out in the hallway that did that to me? Yeah, okay, alrighty. Or here's my question, ready? Is the Holy Spirit in you laying dormant? Okay? Is the Holy Spirit inside of you that you have, that you've received, just laying there dormant, okay? Or are you tapping in to the Holy Spirit so that he can move through you, and then you can go up to people and pray for them and watch those gifts move through you, right? So just a little question. So how about let's pray. Father God, I thank you for everyone in this place. I thank you, Father. They're precious. Precious to me, but man, they are precious to you. I thank you for everyone, Father. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you do works in people. You're the healer, the comforter, the advocate, the counselor, the standby. You're all that. And I thank you, just move into people's hearts. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that we welcome you to move through us, that we can demonstrate, share all that you have done in our lives. I thank you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are everyone's comforter here. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you empower everyone in this place. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you just clothe them and just power, Father, to do what you've called us to do. I thank you for that. I thank you, Holy Spirit. How about we all just say, Holy Spirit, I want more of you. And I know you're not going to embarrass me. You don't have to say that because you're a gentleman. And I just say, here am I, Lord. Use me, speak through me, and I give you all the glory. But Lord, I want more of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Okay, eyes up for a second in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit comes, but first you have to receive Jesus. That's how it goes. And Jesus is so easy. It said, whoever would call on the name of the Lord, Jesus. And I think you're going to be so surprised when you get to heaven and you're like, whoa, did you see who got in there? They're probably saying, look who got, look, they let you in, all right? But it's really simple. And I know there's levels of this, but call on the name of the Lord.